And now this morning I want to invite your attention to three verses of Scripture. They're all three in the book of 1 Corinthians. And they are 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. And 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Three passages, three verses of Scripture to serve as a foundation and a background for our message for today. I shall read these three verses after we pause in just a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy timeless and eternal Word. We pray that we might take heed to the truth of the Scripture in this day and hour in which we live. May the Bible be our guide and our light and our lamp through all of the uneven pathway over which we walk. Grant unto us as men to play the part of men in the framework of the ministry of the church. This is our prayer and these are our petitions, and we ask them all in Jesus' name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Now that first verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And verse 11, Paul writes, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Then the next verse is chapter 14 and verse 20. "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." In understanding be men. Then in the 16th chapter and verse number 13. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men." That is, adorn yourselves, equip yourselves, feel the part of a man, be strong. Well, I'm sure that you've gathered by now that the one word that stands out in my text today is the word men. I must confess that I considered several topics for my message before landing on this one. For men only. Now, you women, don't get up and leave me. I might have something to say about you. God bless the dear women. The ministry of Jesus could not have been possible if it hadn't been for the ministry of the women. In many areas, in the church's ministry today, it could not be carried on were it not for the women. That's to the shame and disgrace of the men. I believe in the midst of the 20th century, we are facing an hour that demands men. Be in your understanding like men. Quit yourselves, adorn yourselves as men. And I believe that God is looking for a particular type of men in these days. Not just men, but men who are men. To fight the battle of faith. Now, some of you men might think that Sunday school and the work of Christ is for old women and little children, but you're mistaken. Jesus gathered about him 12 men. He gave to those men the commission to evangelize the world. God is in need of, and God is looking for, a particular type of man. I think one of the marvels of grace is that God has condescended to use vessels of clay like us. We have this treasure in vessels of clay. Why did not God use an angel to herald the message of redeeming grace? Why did not God create some other being to tell out the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why did not God make some other being to be pastors, to be deacons, to be men in the church? I don't know. All I know is that God has seen fit to use us, as unworthy and undeserving as we are. What kind of men do you suppose that God needs in these troubled, distressful, dismal, uncertain days? I believe there's a particular type, and that's what I want to talk to you about for men only today. I suggest and submit to you that we need some day men. That's D-A-Y. And I think of day men as men who have their eyes and their ears open to what's happening in the world today. Our world is disintegrating. Our nation is disintegrating. We have more problems than we can solve. The experts have put out their solutions, and they don't even know the problem. They've put out their answers to the questions, and they don't even know the questions. I'm no prophet, and I don't claim to be. But I believe I know enough about the Word of God and enough about what's taking place today to know this, that our nation, if we continue the trend that we are going today, will make an extreme turn to the left and have a society where anything and everything goes. A socialized state and a complete anarchy. Or we'll make an extreme turn to the right and have a dictatorial military power to tell us what we can and cannot do. We cannot keep on in the course that we're following. We've either got to go left or right. The only alternative, the only thing that will keep us from going to either extreme, is a great spiritual awakening. Our land of the free and our home of the brave has almost become a land of the spree and the home of the rave. That's where we are today. Day men are men who have eyes and ears to see it and hear it. Day men are men who have an awareness of a responsibility that is placed upon them as men of God. You are your country's man, true enough, but first of all, you're God's man. You are your family's man, but first of all, you're God's man. You are a businessman, but first of all, you're God's man. You are a working man, but first of all, you are God's man. General Omar Bradley said, and I quote, Today we have too many men of science and not enough men of God. Day men are men who are aware of the responsibility that is placed squarely upon their shoulders. I grow sick and tired of seeing men who've shoved all the spiritual responsibility over on the wife and expect the wife to lead the way. I don't believe there are very much men who push the responsibility that God has put on them over to somebody else. Men who are day men know the responsibility that God has put on them as God's men in this age. Day men are men that know what time it is on the clock of eternity. Day men are not caught sleeping. Day men are what Paul writes about in his book of Romans chapter 13 verse 11. And knowing that the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. That is the redemption of our body. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Day men are men who have spiritual discernment enough to know that the clock of eternity is almost striking 12. Oh, but somebody might say that leaves me time if it's just almost striking. You know, most people that put off their salvation and their commitment to Christ to the 12th hour usually die about 10:59. Day men are men who know that God's clock is about to strike and it's all over. As far as this time in this age, the Apostle Paul was a day man. What kind of men do we need in this age? I submit to you that we need some say men, S-A-Y. In Psalm 107 and verse 2, the psalmist cries out, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Let me address the men of this congregation for a moment. You've talked about basketball, baseball, football, mail carrying, sports, home, business, company, car, weather, everything this week. But have you spoken one word for Jesus? We need some say men. One of the greatest sins of Christian men today is the sin of silence. Oh, but somebody argues back. You don't think we ought to offend the world, do you? I surely do. The world needs to be offended. When we see things that are wrong, pornographic literature, and dope, and drink, and these things, we ought to speak up. God needs some say men in the 20th century. Don't worry about whether or not you offend the world. God puts you here as an offender. Jesus was the greatest offender that the world has ever known. He offended people everywhere he went. So did Paul. Men who are say men are men who say something for Christ. Oh, but someone says, people will think I'm foolish, preacher. They'll think I'm a fanatic. They'll think I'm a nut if I go around witnessing for Christ and trying to win men to Jesus. The wise Solomon said, he that winneth souls is wise. Now you want man's approval or man's appraisal or God's? God says you're wise if you do that, if you're a say man. Oh, but somebody said, I'm not trained. I've never been to seminary. I don't really know how. I heard the president of the Southern Baptist Convention say last Sunday that out of the 4,000 Southern Baptist pastors in the state of Texas, only 800 of them had been to the seminary. So you don't have to go to the seminary to be a say man for Jesus. How much training is necessary for you to tell men that God loves them? Jesus said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." You know what a witness is supposed to do? This is so simple. Why, it's so simple it's almost ridiculous. All that a witness is called on to do is to tell what he knows. There's no court in all the world that can force a witness to tell more than he knows. Jesus said, "Tell what you know. He shall be witnesses unto me." Abraham Lincoln was a say man. The man who probably has gone down as the greatest president of our country was a say man. Let me give you his testimony. Here it is. Abraham Lincoln said, and I quote, "When I left Springfield, I asked the people to pray for me. I was not a Christian. When I buried my son, the gravest trial of my life, I was not a Christian. But when I visited Gettysburg and I saw there the graves of thousands of our young soldiers, I then and there committed my life to Jesus Christ. Yes, I do love Jesus." That's the President of the United States speaking. Abraham Lincoln was a say man. He spoke up for Jesus. Don't think that somebody will think you're a coward or a sissy. I don't think Peter was a sissy, nor John, nor James. They all lost their heads. People don't cut off the heads of sissies, beloved, or crucified. People don't crucify sissies. It's he-men that meet heroic deaths. One of our church men by the name of Russell Conwell had this to say. "Whenever a church calls a preacher who does not preach for souls, or," and I hope the deacons are listening, "elects a deacon who does not work to save souls," I hope the Sunday school teachers are listening, "or selects a teacher who does not teach to save souls, or admits to the choir anyone who does not sing to save souls, by so much it fails to be a New Testament church having the approval of God." That's pretty strong, but that's the God's truth, the gospel truth, the undeniable truth. No man has a right to serve in the church who does not serve and work and labor for souls. Young man was saved. The next Sunday, his pastor preached on the message, "Rescue the Perishing." The choir sang for an invitation number, "Rescue the Perishing." After the church was over, young fellow came up to the preacher and said, "Preacher, when do we begin?" The preacher looked at him like he had a for rent sign on his head and said, "What do you mean, begin what?" He said, "When do we begin to rescue the perishing?" The preacher smiled and said, "Oh, that was just a sermon. And that was just a song. God have mercy. God has put us here to win souls to Christ. And whatever group we're in." You know, sometimes we make too much to do about different groups. The more I know about God and the longer I live, the more I'm convinced that when we get to heaven, God is not going to be nearly so concerned about what group we came from as how many we brought with us. We need some say men in Worth Baptist Church that'll speak up for Christ. For the church. And then we need some yea men. That's Y-E-A, like yes. I'm speaking now of men who will say yes. Men who will say yes to Jesus when he invites you to come after him and become a fisher of men. Men who will say yes to the Holy Spirit, yes to the Word of God. Men who will say yes to the pastor when he appeals for men to serve. Even if it's just to be a doorkeeper. The psalmist said in Psalm 84:11-10, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Gentlemen, sometimes it's embarrassing when I walk up out there and there's not a man at the door to greet stranger or friend. I read a story about a church that was having a great revival and the church was progressing, and the visiting evangelist noticed that there was one fellow who always stood there at the door. He never said anything much, he just smiled. Got on into the week, and the visiting preacher could stand it no longer. He said to him, Brother, what part do you play in this great, thriving church? He said, Well, I just smile them in and smile them out. We need some more men like that. We need some men in the choir. You say, but I don't have a trained voice. Pray tell me who does. We don't have any trained voices here. We sing by letter. Open your mouth and let her fly. It's embarrassing to the choir director for you men to sit out there that ought to be seated up here in the choir. We need some yes men who will say yes to the choir director. Sometimes it's humiliating and it's embarrassing and it's almost heartbreaking. We come out on Tuesday night to visit, and it's mostly women and children. The same thing on Tuesday night. The same thing on Wednesday night in prayer meeting. A lot of times it's women and children. The world thinks that the gospel's been given over to women and children because men are not playing their part. We need some yes men. Paul was a yes man. He said yes to Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he never said no again to Christ. That was an eternal yes. And while we need some yea men, we also need some nay men. The hardest word to pronounce is not Tiglath-Pileser, or Mayor Shalal-Hashbaz, or Constantinople, or Nebuchadnezzar, or Kalamazoo, or some of these difficult words. Sometimes the hardest word in the English language to pronounce is two letters, no. We need some men who will say no. Praise God for men who can say no. Joseph said no to temptation in Egypt, and God made him the second ruler of all that people. Daniel said no when they offered him the king's meat in Babylon. God made him the first ruler under Nebuchadnezzar. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said no when they said you must bow down before the image. They said no. God brought them through the fiery furnace without even the smell of smoke. That's more than God's done for some of you. There's a young man over in Atlanta, Georgia, a war hero. His name is Tom Brumby, B-R-U-M-B-Y, Brumby. He had returned from the war, and his friends decided to give a banquet in his honor. And there was a great crowd of gaiety and laughing and celebrating, and everybody was enjoying it and having fun. And the toastmaster proposed that they offer a toast to the flag of the United States. And so he handed the young hero a glass of champagne and said, let's toast the flag of the United States. And everybody got real quiet. They were waiting on Tom Brumby to act. The young war hero stood up and said, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate the banquet that you have given in my honor. But I am a Christian. I do not drink, and I will not propose or accept a toast in champagne to the flag under which I risk my life for my country. God give us some more men, young and old, who will say no to that damnable drink that cost Americans $20 billions last year. I said we need some say men. We need some say men in the pulpit. Yes, I believe it's wrong to drink. I know some people that left the Baptist church to go to another denomination so they could feel comfortable in their drink. Brother, if it's wrong to drink in the Baptist church, it's wrong to drink in any church. Oh, but somebody said, I don't think a social drink would hurt anybody. You go out to the hospitals and visit the used-to-be social drinks. You know what a pig is when he grows up? I think it's wrong to drink. Men have to learn to say no. 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 A man whose music we often sing, Mr. John Peterson, we've sung several of his cantatas, was a man who said no. He was invited to the office of one of the largest music publishing companies in the United States. He had written a song named Over Sunset Mountains. The company wanted to buy the rights to that song because it had such a commercial appeal to it. They offered him $250,000 for the rights to that song if he would change one word in the song. Here's how it went. One part of it. Over the sunset mountains, someday I'll softly go into the arms of Jesus who has loved me so. They asked him to change the word Jesus. They said it sounded just a little bit too religious. It would lose its commercial appeal with the name Jesus in it. John W. Peterson, without hesitation, said, "Gentlemen, you have asked me to change the only word, the only name that I cannot change." And with that, he turned and walked out of that office, leaving $250,000 there for him. And as he walked out into the streets, he thought to himself, oh, what I could have done with that money for my church, for many needy organizations. The devil said, Peterson, you're a fool. But that same night, God put another song in John Peterson's heart. It has become one of his favorites. And this is the way it goes. I have no song to sing but that of Christ my King. To him my praise I'll bring forevermore. His love beyond degree, his death that ransomed me. Now and eternally I'll sing o'er and o'er. I find no more delight in other songs. My melody of love to Christ belongs. John Peterson said no. We need some nay men. And finally, men, we need some pay men. And I'm not speaking only about financial assistance here, but I believe this, and I believe it with all of my heart, and I make no apologies for believing it. The man who has truly been converted has had his pocketbook converted along with him. I baptized one young man back in, had his pocketbook in his breeches. Wasn't that a sight? He came up out of there. The only thing I could see about him was a big billfold sitting up in the back of his pocket. We got some more members that need that same treatment. Now, you women, I said stay with me. I believe you ought to be a tither, too. Let me give a rerun on that slow motion. I believe that every man who has been converted by the grace of God has had his pocketbook converted. But dollars and cents don't make it all. God wants us to pay with sweat and tears. Abraham was a man who paid the price of intercessory prayer. Jacob was a man who paid the price of being alone with God. John the Baptist paid the price of having his head cut off. But he took a shortcut to glory. We need some paymen in Worth Baptist Church. What kind of man are you? What kind of man do you want to be? Oh, somebody said, "Preacher, God can't use me. I don't have anything to offer God. Never did go to college, never did go to seminary, didn't even go to high school." Let me tell you the five kind of men that God can use. Paul gives them to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says God uses weak things. You know, weak, not very strong. God uses foolish things. God uses base things, that's low things. God uses despised things. Hold your seat on this one. Paul said God uses things which are not to bring to naught things which are. Now you don't have to have much to be used of God, do you? Weak or foolish or base or despised. That's the qualifications that God has. No child of God, however young or old, however poor or obscure, no child of God can excuse himself in not being used for God. The great orchestra leader was leading his orchestra that was accompanied by hundreds of voices in rehearsal. The piccolo player said to himself, "They'll never miss my sound out of this." So he stopped playing. And the orchestra leader threw up his hands and shouted, "Where is the piccolo?" Beloved, you may not think that the heavenly orchestra leader misses you when you are not playing your part on Sunday night or Wednesday night or any other night or day that you're supposed to be playing the part, which is every day, really. You may not think that the heavenly orchestra leader misses you, but he does. And he knows whether you're supposed to be playing the piccolo or the flute or the horn or whatever it is to make up the orchestra of Christian service. God knows when you're missing. God asked Abel, "What's in your hand?" Oh, he said, "Just a wee little lamb." But that wee little lamb for 2,000 years pointed to a greater lamb, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. God said to Moses, "What is in your hand?" Moses said, "Nothing but a shepherd's rod." But beloved, 3 million people were delivered when Moses held that rod up over the Red Sea. 3 million people crossed on dry ground. Just a shepherd's rod. And somehow I believe, men of Worth Baptist Church, God is asking you, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? Not much. Whatever it is, use it for God. Use it for Christ. Use it for the church. Use it for God's glory. Why not resolve today to be a day man, a say man, a yea man, a nay man, and a pay man for Christ, who is the man of sorrows, the man of God? What kind of man are you? What kind of man do you want to be? For men only. Let us quit ourselves as men and have understanding like men, and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I ask you again, what kind of man are you? And what kind of man do you want to be? Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy word today. We thank Thee for men who are willing to say yes when they should say yes, no when they should say no, speak up when they should speak up, realize with a keen awareness what's going on in the world today, pay up when they're called on to pay up. May the men of Worth Baptist Church fit into this pattern today. And Heavenly Father, if there are those here without Christ and have never trusted Him, may they realize that they can only be the man that Thou wouldst have them to be as they come and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are seeking a church home. They want a sense of direction. They want to be in the right place. Give them that sense of direction that they long for and seek after today. And may every one of us act today according to Thy will and the leadership of Thy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.